Preacher and Lorenzo, accompanied by Dog, rode out of camp heading north, the same direction the bear had gone. The trail was harder to follow, since the ground was hard and didn't take tracks well. And Dog seemed to have trouble picking up the scent. But Preacher's keen, experienced eyes were able to spot the little signs of the grizzly's passage. The rocks that had been overturned recently. The marks in the dirt left by a dragon claw. The occasional drops of blood that testified to the fact that the bear was wounded again. If Preacher had been the superstitious sort, he might have wondered about the bear, just like Lorenzo. There was no telling how many times that big varmint had been wounded now, and yet it was still alive, still vicious, still determined to wreak havoc on the wagon train. Preacher had no explanation for how it had survived or why it was so hell-bent on delivering death and destruction to the caravan. But he had seen men who were hard to kill, as well as men whose violent actions made no damn sense. If a human could go crazy, he supposed a bear could too.
I hope you know where you're going. I don't see no trail.
Preacher pointed out the sign he was following.
If you're gonna live out here on the frontier, you know, it's time you started learning some of the things that'll help keep you alive.
That's fine with me. I'm all for staying alive.
The bear's trail led due north, through some bleak, rugged country.
Looks like he's headed for Canada.
How far is that?
Too far for us to follow him all the way there, but maybe we'll catch up to him.
Both men were silent for a few minutes.
What do you think about that young fella, Roland? Is he gonna be able to take over and run things like his pa?
Yeah, maybe. Bartlett didn't really know what he was doing either. He just bought some wagons and freight and started out to Santa Fe, trusting in luck.
What was lucky was him running into you. That whole bunch would likely be dead now without the help you give them.
Well, they gave us a hand back yonder in Independence, remember? Seems fitting we do what we can to help them, too.
Speaking of Independence, Casey seems taken with the boy now. You finally got her to give up on you?
So it appears.
And that don't bother you none?
Hell, that was what I wanted. What I'm worried about now is, what'll Casey do when Roland starts back to St. Louis?
Go with him?
Yeah, I thought about that. What if some of your old boss's friends recognize her?
Hell, I ain't sure Shad Beaumont ever had any friends. Just folks who worked for him and folks who were scared of him. Or both. But I've been around them crooked folks enough to know they don't care about much anything except money. They won't have no reason to bother Casey, even if somebody does recognize her.
Roland might find out about her past if that happens.
That's likely to happen anyway, sooner or later. Roland will just have to get over it if it bothers him. Maybe it won't.
Maybe not.
While they were talking, Preacher kept his eyes on the ground ahead of him, intently picking out the little indications that the grizzly had passed that way. He hadn't seen any blood for quite a while, telling him the bear's wounds were superficial and had stopped bleeding. Dog ranged back and forth in front of him, sometimes with the scent, sometimes not. Preacher lost the trail a time or two, but he was able to find it again. Around midday, they came to a dry wash, about a dozen feet deep and steep-walled. The bear's tracks led right up to the edge. Preacher frowned as he swung down from the saddle and studied the ground. It looked like the bear had walked straight up to the wash and fallen into it. Preacher saw where the dust had been disturbed on the floor of the arroyo by the creature's landing. More tracks led off to the west. Preacher pointed them out.
Looks like he got up and kept moving.
Well, how come he fell off of there? I know you said bears don't see too good, but there ain't no way he missed something as big as this wash.
Well, maybe he just didn't care. Maybe he's dying at last and he knows it.
We gonna follow him?
Preacher stood up and studied the sun's position in the sky.
Yeah, I think we can stay on his trail for a couple more hours if we need to and still get back to the wagons before dark if we push the horses a little.
You the boss.
You're not still worried about the bear being supernatural somehow, are you? Because I'm telling you, that blame thing is real and it can be killed.
Oh, I believe you. But he's been mighty hard to kill so far, and I'm just wondering how much more damage he can do before we finish him off.
Not much, I'm hoping.
They rode along the edge of the wash, following it as it twisted and turned in a generally westward direction. Preacher was able to see the tracks from up there. As far as he could tell, the bear was not making any effort to climb out of the wash. After about a mile, he began to see blood on the ground along with the tracks.
Look at there! One of the bear's wounds must have busted open.
He spotted something up ahead. A dark hole in the side of the wash marked the mouth of a cave. As Preacher and Lorenzo approached it, Preacher saw the tracks and the blood leading into the opening. Instinct had drawn the grizzly to a place where it could den up. Lorenzo frowned at the cave mouth.
What do we do now? That damn thing found itself a hole to crawl into.
To crawl into and die, more than likely. But I ain't turning back until I know for sure.
You don't mean to tell me you figure on going in that cave?
No, chances are it ain't a real cave, just a hollowed out place. Probably not more than 8 or 10 feet deep. If I can get down there, I ought to be able to see into it enough to tell if the bear's dead.
What if it ain't dead?
Preacher thought about that for a minute.
All right, I'll tell you what. We'll tie a rope around me, fasten the other end to horse, so if I need to get out of there in a hurry, he can pull me out.
Lorenzo didn't look convinced.
All right. It's your skin. Just don't be expecting me to climb down in there after you if you get in trouble.
I don't. Just keep your rifle handy.
Preacher dismounted and took the coiled rope off horse's saddle. He made a loop in one end and slipped it over his head and shoulders, tightening it under his arms and around his chest. The other end he tied to the saddle.
Toss my rifle to me once I'm down there.
He led horse away from the edge until he judged the stallion was far enough away to keep the rope taut. Then he backed to the edge. The rope stretched out tight between him and horse.
All right, horse. Come toward me now. Nice and slow.
Horse started walking forward. As he did, Preacher leaned back against the rope and reached over the edge with a booted foot. He found a good place to brace it and then stepped back with the other foot. As horse came toward him, Preacher was able to walk backward down the sheer wall of the arroyo. The sandstone face was rough enough to provide several good footholds along the way.
Keep coming, horse.
He wanted to have plenty of slack in the rope as he approached the cave. Now that he was closer, he could see that the bear's tracks definitely led into the dark opening.
Heads up!
Lorenzo threw the rifle down to Preacher. The mountain man held the weapon ready for instant use as he started toward the cave mouth. The opening was about 5 feet tall and 4 feet wide. Preacher crouched to look into it. The bear exploded out of the cave with a swiftness and ferocity that surprised even Preacher. Preacher didn't know if he'd hit the grizzly or not. He had to move so fast to avoid the lethal swipe of a huge paw that he'd lost his footing and sprawled backward on the ground.
Back, horse! Back!
Instantly, the rope around him went taut. As he slid backward over the dusty floor of the wash, being dragged by horse, Preacher scrambled to get his feet under him. The bear charged after him. Preacher thrust the rifle out to block another blow from one of those paws. The impact knocked the weapon out of his hands and sent it spinning away, but at least it kept the claws from raking across his face. Preacher tried to turn around so he could get back up the wall, but he did not make it in time. His shoulder rammed against the sandstone so hard, the impact took his breath away and stunned him. He felt his feet coming off the ground as the rope around his torso began to lift him. The bear came at him again, reaching for him. Preacher had the presence of mind to draw his legs up and then lash out with him, kicking the bear in the chest. He wasn't strong enough to knock down such a behemoth, but the grizzly was staggered for a second. It threw back its head. It lunged forward again, and this time it enveloped Preacher in its powerful arms. As the creature pulled him downward, he reached for his pistols, hoping to blast both double-shotted loads into the bear's face at close range. But the bear's grip tightened, and Preacher's arms were pinned against his sides. Even though his hands were wrapped around the butts of the pistols, he couldn't pull them from behind his belt. He jerked his head aside as the bear bit at him. The animal's hot breath washed across his face, and it was so foul it made him nauseous. Something was damn sure wrong with the bear. Its insides were festering, but knowing that wasn't going to do him any good, the grizzly was about to crush the life out of him. Dog leaped from the bank and landed on top of the bear's head. Dog's sharp teeth tore into one of the bear's ears and started ripping at it. The bear let go of Preacher to reach up and remove the annoyance from the back of its neck. Dog went flying away. The grizzly wheeled around and went after him. Preacher started rising again as horse lifted.
No horse! Down! Down, goddammit!
Preacher, what the hell are you doing? Get out of there!
I ain't leaving Dog down here!
Preacher's feet hit the ground again. He grabbed the rope, pulled it loose, and threw it off. Without the rope, he was free to charge after the bear. As he looked past the varmint's considerable bulk, he saw Dog lying on the ground, apparently stunned, if not worse.
God, dang, bear, I'm getting tired of fighting you.
As he ran, Preacher pulled the guns from behind his belt. The bear swung around. Lorenzo's rifle had fired from the top of the bank. The ball had smashed into its chest and the bear stumbled a little.
Dog, you son of a bitch! Why won't you die?
Preacher dodged aside as the grizzly swiped at him with both paws. He avoided the first blow, but the second one clipped him on the left shoulder and sent him rolling again. Fiery pain rippled down Preacher's arm from the gashes torn by the creature's claws.
Son of a bitch!
Summoning up all the strength he could, Preacher surged back to his feet. He wouldn't have time to reload once he pulled the triggers. He had to save his shots until he was sure they could do the most good. The bear charged him. Preacher spun away from the attack. As the bear lumbered past him, Preacher took a chance. He jumped on the bear's back. He looped his left arm around the bear's neck and tried to get his legs around the creature's thick body. As he burrowed against the thick, rank-smelling fur, he struggled to get the barrel of the pistol in his right hand against the creature's ear, another way to its crazed brain. But the bear flailed around so much, the gun muzzle kept slipping away from where Preacher wanted it to be before the mountain men could pull the trigger. Claw hooked in his buckskin church without puncturing the flesh, but it was enough of a grip for the bear to tear him loose and fling him away. Preacher went rolling helter-skelter across the ground. When he came to a stop, he tried to force his muscles to work, but his brain was too stunned. He rose slightly, but slipped back down again. The bear lumbered toward him. Suddenly, a shaggy gray shape darted between Preacher and the grizzly. Dog was back on his paws, and he planted himself firmly in the bear's path. He was ready to protect his friend to his last breath and last drop of blood. The bear stopped a few feet away. Preacher saw shadows moving and looked up to see Lorenzo standing at the top of the wash, lining up a shot with his rifle.
Don't! Hold your fire, Lorenzo!
The old-timer didn't lower his rifle, but he didn't press the trigger either.
What do you mean, don't shoot?
You ain't gonna kill him. You're just gonna make him mad.
Look to me like he's already mad.
Look at him. He's tired and he's hurt bad. He don't want this fight anymore than we do.
Damned if Preacher wasn't right. The bear was swaying more than normal when standing on its hind legs. The beady little eyes were dim with pain and confusion. Since it hadn't attacked again, Preacher wondered if he could wait it out. Maybe the bear was finally about to collapse and die. Instead, the great beast abruptly wheeled around and started to move away. It dropped to all fours and picked up speed as it swung along the bottom of the arroyo.
Preacher, what do I do now?
Let him go, God damn it! Just let him go. Dog, stay.
As Preacher pushed himself into a sitting position, the bear disappeared around a bend in the wash. Preacher struggled to his feet, retrieved his rifle, and managed to get hold of the rope, which still dangled into the wash from horse's saddle.
All right, I'm gonna tie this round dog. Horse can lift him out of this hole, and then pull me out the same way.
But the bear...
That bear's done for. You reckon he'd do that if he didn't know it was over? Renzo, we are gonna go back to the wagons. Tomorrow, we're heading to Santa Fe.
Preacher might not be a superstitious man, and he knew it was gonna bother him to let that bear go after making that promise to Roland Bartlett. But he was beginning to think of the grizzly as a force of nature, just like the tornado that had wrecked the caravan earlier in the journey. Some things were just a waste of time to fight, and a smart man picked his battles.
God help me. I'm done with this one.
Look at that shoulder. That vomit got you pretty good. Get that shirt off, we'll clean it up.
Using water from their canteens, Lorenzo got the blood washed away. Preacher saw that the scratches were deep enough to be gory and painful. He took some medicinal ointment from his saddlebags and rubbed a handful of the black, foul-smelling stuff on the wounds. Then he gave Dog the same treatment.
That'll help heal up them scratches.
Injun's been using things like this for hundreds of years. They generally know what they're doing.
Didn't you tell me that some of them will chant songs and dance around and then claim it gave them some sort of magic that'll stop a rifle ball?
Well, I never said they got everything right. We might as well head back to the springs.
The sun had set, but the western sky was still awash with golden orange light as the two riders approached the springs near the bend of the Cimarron. Preacher had been expecting to spot the wagons up ahead, but so far, he hadn't seen them. A vague uneasiness began to stir inside him. It was possible Roland had ordered the men to move the wagons to another location. The preacher had told that young man to stay put at the springs. He couldn't think of any reason why Roland would have gone against that suggestion, unless they were trying to get away from trouble of some sort. As they drew closer to the springs, Preacher could tell the wagons definitely were not there.
Where the hell did they go?
I don't know, but I don't like it. Come on.
Preacher heeled horse into a run. The big gray stallion responded instantly, pulling ahead of the mount carrying Lorenzo. Preacher pulled his rifle from its sheath as he galloped toward the spring. The rifle shot came from the scrubby trees along the river, and the ball kicked up dust a considerable distance in front of horse. Preacher veered the stallion in the direction of the trees and prepared to return fire.
Don't shoot! Don't shoot! It's Preacher!
Let's roll it!
By the time he reached the trees, with Lorenzo trailing about 50 yards behind him, several men had emerged from their cover and were waiting for him. Preacher recognized them as some of the bullwhackers. They were grim-faced and carried their rifles. One of them had a bloody bandage tied around his arm, and another man sported a similar binding on his thigh. They had been in a fight, no doubt about that. Roland limped out to meet Preacher as the mountain man swung down from horse's back. He had a bandage tied around his right calf, and his face was pale with pain.
What happened here? Where are the wagons?
Gone.
I can see that, goddammit. Who took them?
It was that man Garrity and the other thieves with him. They must have been following us, just waiting for a good chance to jump us again.
Garrity. I knew him and his bunch might still be around here, but I figured it was more likely they'd gone on to Santa Fe or wherever the hell else it was they were headed.
I got a good look at him. It was definitely Garrity and his men. We tried to fight them off, but they hit us without any warning and killed several of the men before we knew what was going on. The rest of us were cut off from the wagons and had to retreat into these trees. Some of them kept us pinned down while the others hitched up the teams and got the wagons moving.
What about Casey? Was she hurt in the fighting?
I don't know. She was with the wagons. Garrity took her with them.
Preacher went cold all over when he heard those words.
What the hell were you doing? Huh? You were supposed to have guards posted, and you should have been with the wagons, not down here by the river.
I know, but some of the men decided they wanted to wash off, and I thought it would be better if they did that in the river instead of the pool at the springs, and—
That's enough. It was a damn fool thing to do, and it was just the sort of chance Garrity'd been waiting for.
I know. It's my fault. That's why I'm going after them. I'm going to get Casey and the wagons back. I want Lorenzo's horse.
And leave me stuck out here? Not damn likely.
Now hold on. These horses have been traveling all day already. They ain't in any shape to be rode all night. Anyway, there ain't much light left. Besides, how good are you at tracking in the dark?
I'm not a tracker at all. You know that, preacher.
Uh-huh. Oh, so you figured I'd go with you, right?
I supposed you'd want to help Casey as much as I do. Or do you not give a damn about her now that she's with me?
She ain't with you. She's with Garrity. And you're damn right I want to help her. But we can't do that by rushing off just the two of us.
You're right, of course. Garrity has at least a dozen men. What are we going to do?
Preacher looked at the sky where the last light of day was fading.
We'll stay here tonight and pick up their trail in the morning. Did you see which way they were headed when they left?
They were following the trail southwest.
Well, then they're heading for Santa Fe. Nobody there will know the wagons and freight don't belong to them. They can sell them all off and make a killing and take the money and lie to shuck out of there before anybody figures out the deal was crooked. Wait a minute. Maybe we can go after those varmints tonight. When did the raid happen?
Around the middle of the day.
So they've had half a day to get a lead on us. But even on foot, men can move faster than those oxen pulling those heavy wagons. And we can catch up to them before the night's over.
Some of the men are hurt too bad to march like that.
Well, then they'll stay here with a couple of men to watch over them while the rest of us go after Garrity.
We'll be outnumbered.
Not for long.
In addition to Preacher and Roland, eight men were in the party going after Garrity and the rest of the outlaws. Each man was armed with a rifle and a knife, and a couple had pistols as well. It wasn't much of an army, Preacher thought, but it was gonna have to do. Lorenzo didn't like it, but Preacher had asked him to stay behind to help guard the wounded men. Besides, the old-timer had been in the saddle practically all day, and he was worn out. Starting out, Roland was the only one who rode, since he had an injured leg. Preacher walked alongside him, leading horse. The other eight men followed behind them. The stars were out and provided enough light for Preacher to follow the well-defined wagon trail.
What about the bear? I saw that you were hurt. You must have found it.
We did. Dog and me both tangled with the varmint close up, and Lorenzo shot the blasted thing again.
So you killed it?
Well, it was alive the last time we saw it. But as bad hurt as it was, it's bound to be dead by now.
Ghost bear. Spirit bear. Those words forced themselves into Preacher's brain. He shoved him right the hell back out. That bear was flesh and blood. He had felt it. He had smelt it. He had wrestled with it. And like everything else, flesh and blood, it could be killed.
I hope Casey's all right. I hate to think about what might be happening.
Then don't. Think about what we're gonna do when we catch up to that bunch.
What are we going to do? We can't just burst into their camp and start shooting. Casey might get hurt. Besides, they outnumber us.
Yeah, I plan on doing something about that.
What can one man do?
I've slipped into and back out of more than one Injun camp. And take my word for it, the Blackfoot and the Sioux and the Comanche are a hell of a lot harder to sneak around than those outlaws will be. I plan to find out just where Casey is. And maybe even get her out of there before the shooting starts.
That would be perfect. She's already been through enough in her life.
She told you about her life, did she?
She told me enough. I don't care about her past, if that's what you're talking about, Preacher. It's a closed book, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, good. I'd keep it that way if I was you.
They dropped the subject to Casey then, which was just fine with Preacher. He didn't know how much of the truth she had told Roland about her past, and he didn't care. That was between the two of them. The moon and stars wheeled through their courses in the sky as the party trudged on. Sometime after midnight, Preacher could sense the exhaustion in the men.
Hold on. I'll wait here a bit.
Don't we need to keep going? Casey's still up there somewhere. They can't be too far ahead of us now.
Well, that's what I want to find out. Now, you fellas stay here. I'm going ahead to take a look around. And don't you budge from this spot until I get back.
We won't.
Roland knew that their failure to do that at the springs had contributed heavily to the disaster that had befallen them. Taking Dog with him, but leaving the stallion behind, Preacher walked on into the night. Time and experience and some good teachers among the Crow and other friendly tribes had given Preacher the ability to move with almost complete silence when he wanted to. He used that ability now, in the wee hours of the morning. It was the best time to slip into an enemy camp, when sleep lay heavily on most of them. Preacher spotted glowing embers several hundred yards away. When his keen eyes saw the orange coals, he stopped to size up the situation. Garrity and his men were confident of their ability to protect themselves, so they had built a good-sized campfire when they stopped for the night. He could see the light-colored canvas covers of the wagons now. The vehicles had been pulled off the trail a short distance and arranged in a circle. Preacher moved closer. When he was within 100 yards of the wagons, he dropped to a knee and put an arm around Dog's shaggy neck.
Stay. Dog. Stay.
Preacher left the long-barreled flintlock behind with Dog. It was too awkward to carry around while he was trying to be stealthy. He had his pistols, but if all went as he hoped, he wouldn't even need them. Most important, he had his knife. It was the blade that was going to come in for some work tonight. Preacher cat-footed toward the wagons. Then he dropped to his knees and stretched out on his belly to cover the last 50 yards in a crawl, moving only a few inches at a time. Garrity surely had sense enough to have posted some sentries. As he came closer, Preacher caught a whiff of pipe smoke, confirming his hunch. He followed his nose until he spotted a dark shape leaning against one of the wagon wheels. Grinning to himself in the darkness, Preacher began crawling in a wide circle that would allow him to come up behind the guard. He didn't get in any kind of hurry. Rushing things in a job like that could just get a man killed. Eventually, he was where he wanted to be, close enough to reach out and touch the guard as he silently rose to his feet. The man was still puffing on his pipe, blissfully unaware, until Preacher's left arm came around him and clamped down on his throat like an iron bar, stifling any sound and making the guard spit out his pipe. The cold steel of Preacher's knife buried in the man's back, the tip sliding between the ribs and delving deep to find the heart. Preacher pulled the knife out, lowered the corpse to the ground, and wiped the blood off the blade onto the man's shirt. He took the pistol he found behind the guard's belt, tucking it behind his own belt, but he left the rifle. Soundlessly, the mountain man moved around the outside of the circled wagons, until he found another guard. Preacher commandeered another pistol. When it came time for the battle, his forces would be at least a little better armed than when they had started out. Some of the thieves were sleeping under the wagons. Preacher found a vehicle where the ground underneath it was empty and crawled through the space into the circle. He lifted his head and studied the wagons. After a moment, he spotted a man standing guard inside the circle, next to the tailgate of one of the wagons. Preacher was willing to bet Casey was inside that wagon, and the sentry was there to prevent her from getting away. Well, he could do something about that, Preacher figured. Suddenly, Preacher heard a swift padding of feet. The footsteps stopped, not 10 feet from the wagon Preacher was under. Preacher jerked to his feet as shadows leaped through the night, hurtling wagon tongues and charging into the circle. The wagons were under attack by Indians. Preacher suspected they were Comanches, and the possibility suggested itself that they might be the remnants of Lame Buffalo's party, reinforced by more warriors from the same band. Preacher really didn't care who the Indians were, though. They would kill him just like they'd kill every other white man with the wagons if they could.
Chase it!
Preacher sprinted toward the wagon where he thought she was. The man guarding the wagon threw his rifle to his shoulder as a pair of the attacking Indians charged at him. The charged weapon sent one of the warriors flying backward, but the other one lunged forward and drove his lance into the guard's body. The sharp-tipped weapon tore all the way through him and emerged from his back to hit one of the sideboards of the wagon behind him. For a second, the dying man was pinned there until the warrior yanked the lance free. As he turned away from the crumpling guard, Preacher's hands locked on the bloody shaft of the lance and wrenched it out of the warrior's hands. Preacher brought it up in a flash and thrust the tip into the engine's throat. Blood gushed. He shoved the dying warrior aside and leaped to the back of the wagon.
Casey! Casey, you in there?
Preacher! Preacher, is that you?
Preacher used his left hand to rip aside one of the canvas flaps while his right pulled a pistol from behind his belt.
Casey, come on! We gotta get out of here!
I can't! I'm tied up!
Hang on!
Preacher clambered into the wagon. It was black as pitch in there.
Here! I'm over here!
Preacher reached down in the dark and touched the fabric of her dress. He pulled his knife. Finding her ankles first and working carefully by feel so he wouldn't cut her, he worked the blade under the ropes binding her and severed him with a hard tug on the razor-sharp blade. He sheathed the knife and put his arms around her, lifting her to her feet. He discovered her wrists were bound in front of her as she sagged against him.
You all right?
Yeah, they didn't hurt me. Too bad.
He wasn't sure what she meant by that, but it would have to wait until later when they were safely away from the battle raging outside the wagon. He led her to the back of the wagon.
I'm gonna put you on the ground. You get to the trail and run as hard as you can back the way we came from. Roland and some of the men are waiting back there a ways.
Is he all right?
He caught a bullet in his leg, but he'll be all right. Shit, I reckon he'll be a lot better once he sees you again. Now go on!
Preacher put his hands under Casey's arms and swung her out of the wagon.
I'll be right behind you!
Preacher leaped out of the vehicle, but something crashed into him just as he landed. The collision was enough to knock him off his feet. A weight came down on top of him, and foul breath gusted in his face. He was reminded of wrestling with the bear, but this was no giant grizzly trying to kill him. His hands grabbed bear flesh, slick with sweat and grease, and he knew he was fighting with one of the warriors. Preacher's eyes caught a glimpse of starlight winking on steel. He jerked his head aside just as the knife skimmed past his cheek, leaving a scratch behind as it buried itself in the ground. Preacher brought an elbow up under the man's chin, catching him hard in the throat. He rolled to the side and threw the warrior off of him. His hand snatched up the engine's knife and brought it around in a looping blow that plunged the blade into the man's chest. The warrior spasmed, his back arching up off the ground. Then he sagged back in death. Preacher scrambled up and looked around for Casey. He didn't see her, but he hadn't heard her cry out while he was struggling with the engine, so he hoped she had gotten away and was running back up the Santa Fe Trail toward Roland. Preacher headed in that direction when a hand suddenly grasped his arm.
Good job! You blew the hell out of that redskin! We got the bastards on the run!
It was Garrity himself, the leader of the outlaws, who had grabbed him, thinking Preacher was one of them. At the same time, Garrity realized his mistake.
Son of a bitch! Preacher!
He swung a punch at Preacher's head. Preacher ducked under the outlaw's fist.
Help! Over here! Over here!
Preacher hooked a hard left into Garrity's belly, and the man doubled over. Knowing the pistol in his hand was empty, Garrity straightened and slashed at Preacher's head with the barrel. The gun raked across Preacher's forehead, opening up a cut that leaked blood into the mountain man's eyes. Garrity had been right about the engines. The ones that were left alive were retreating. Garrity's men were now able to focus on the battle between Preacher and Garrity.
It's Preacher, goddammit! Get it!
Preacher had one loaded pistol left. He jerked it out and pointed it at Garrity. Someone tackled him from behind around the knees. His legs collapsed underneath him and the shot went wild. Someone else hit him and knocked him the rest of the way to the ground.
Get him!
fists and feet hammered into Preacher. They were liable to stomp him to death if he didn't get away. Hooking a foot behind a man's knee and sweeping his legs out from under him, Preacher tried to bolt upright through the momentary gap in the circle of would-be killers surrounding him, but the opening was too damn small. One of the men got an arm around Preacher's neck and held on for dear life, squeezing tighter and tighter. Two more men began pounding Preacher's ribs. Pain shot through Preacher with each blow. Red rockets went off behind his eyes as the lack of air began to make everything spin crazily around him. The world seemed to be receding.
Don't kill him!
God damn it!
I don't want that bastard dead yet.
The first thing Preacher was aware of was light, bright and searing against his eyelids. Then pain came flooding in along with the radiance. But he was alive. That beat the alternative, Preacher figured. But under the circumstances, he wasn't sure how long it was gonna last. He hurt like hell from head to toe, and the heat that enveloped him felt more like it was about to cook him. He was frying in his own juices.
Shit.
He tried to force his eyes open, but he couldn't do it. The light was just too bright. Preacher knew it had to be the sun beating down on him. No campfire had ever been that painfully brilliant. Gradually, he became aware that he was lying on his back with his arms stretched out on either side of him. His legs were painfully extended too, and he couldn't move. Once he had realized that, it wasn't much of a stretch to figure out he had been staked out on the ground. He turned his head a little. Something moved between him and the sun, blocking the bright light and searing heat.
You awake, are you, Preacher?
Since Garrity knew he had regained consciousness, there was no point in trying to conceal the fact. Preacher managed to open his eyes, and he found himself staring up at Garrity. Although he couldn't see the man as anything except a black silhouette with the sun behind his head, radiating redly around it.
I was beginning to think the boys were too rough on you, even though I told them to take it easy. I'm glad to see you're still alive. I want your dying to take a long time.
Preacher's lips were blistered, and his mouth felt like he had a wool sock in it. After a moment, he realized that sock was his tongue.
Bring her over here.
Oh, my God. Preacher, I'm sorry. When I saw you weren't behind me, I turned back to see what had happened. I should have kept going.
Yeah, I reckon you should have.
It wouldn't have mattered, darling. Soon as I realized you were gone, I would have come after you and found you. You're going to be with me all the way to Santa Fe. I know a fellow who owns a whorehouse there. He'd pay me a tidy sum for a pretty little yellow-haired girl like you.
Go to hell! You'll have to kill me first.
That's mighty big talk for a gal who can't do a damn thing to back it up. You might as well face it. From here on out, you do what I say.
Garrity shifted so the fierce sunlight slammed into Preacher's eyes again.
And right now, I say you're going to stay here and watch while Preacher dies, no matter how long it takes. And it's going to take a long time.
You bastard!
Casey's hands were still tied in front of her, but her feet were loose. She broke free and lunged at Garrity and raised her hands as she tried to claw at his face.
Look out now, she's a pistol!
Garrity shoved her away.
Let go of me!
God damn it, hang on to her, boys.
Go.
Make sure she keeps her eyes
damn
open.
You.
That's better. You just have a good cry.
The man shoved her to the ground beside Preacher. Preacher wanted to tell her it was all right, but he couldn't find the strength to form the words. Then He realized Garrity hadn't said anything about Roland Bartlett and the other men from the wagon train. From the angle of the sun shining down into his face, Preacher guessed that the morning was fairly well advanced. Roland and the other men were close enough to have heard the shooting going on the night before, but they hadn't come to find out what was going on. Preacher's already cracked and bleeding lips cracked a little bit more as he smiled faintly now. He had told Roland to stay put, and by God, it looked like the boy had done as he was told.
Preacher? Preacher, what are you laughing about?
Nothing.
Roland was their only hope. If that wasn't enough to make a man laugh, he didn't know what was.
Casey, where are we?
Shut up! Garrity didn't say nothing about letting the two of you talk.
He didn't say we couldn't either. Preacher's dying anyway. What difference does it make if he knows where he's at?
The two men didn't answer for a moment.
I reckon she got a point there. It don't make a damn bit of difference. Go ahead, girlie. You tell him.
We're in the same place we were last night. Garrity decided not to move the wagons just yet. He said he could afford to wait. To wait until you were dead.
What about them engines?
They're all dead except for a few got away.
I wonder if that was the same bunch of a Comanche.
It must have been. They could have been following us, waiting for a chance to settle the score for what happened before. They might not have known that Garrity stole the wagons. They must have thought Mr. Bartlett was still in charge.
Preacher figured the caravan had been jinxed from the start. Trailed by the engines, trailed by Garrity's outlaws, trailed by that damn bear. Then he thought, maybe he was the one who was jinxed. He had always had a way of attracting trouble ever since he had left the family farm as a youngster and headed west. Maybe it hadn't been so lucky for the Bartletts and the others that he and Lorenzo and Casey had thrown in with them after all. Lehman Bartlett hadn't been lucky, that was for goddamn sure. He had met a gruesome death, and several of the other men from the caravan had crossed the divide as well.
Hoodoo. I'm a hoodoo.
What are you saying, Preacher? I couldn't understand you.
Nothing.
Preacher kept his eyes screwed tightly shut against the sunlight.
Nothing at all.
The day wore on. The minutes were like hours. The hours like years. To Preacher, it felt like he had been baking out there for all eternity. Given the sort of life he had led, all the men he had killed, he figured there was a good chance he'd wind up shaking hands with the devil when he died. And that day, he felt like he was getting a head start on hell. To make matters worse, ants found those blood-crusted wounds on his shoulder and arm and started chewing on them. Preacher felt the cords standing out in his neck as he strained and struggled to keep the cries of pain bottled up inside of him. He didn't want to give Garrity that much satisfaction.
For God's sake, can't you see how bad he's suffering? At least let me brush those ants off him.
Gary wants him to suffer. As a matter of fact, Dumard, why don't you fetch him? I got a hunch he'd like to see this.
Good idea.
Think you can manage to watch the woman on your own?
Oh, I hope to smile I can. Yeah, I can watch you just fine. Little scar never bothered me none.
Dumars was back a few minutes later with Garrity, who saw the ants swarming on Preacher's shoulder and arm.
Oh, would you look at that? Just when you figure things can't get any better. We got us a pretty little honey to keep us company all the way to Santa Fe. We're going to be rich men when we get there and sell those wagons and all that freight. And we got Preacher dying to entertain us in the meantime.
Garrity leaned over the mountain man, blocking the sun from Preacher's face again.
Oh, how do you like all those little critters, Preacher? Huh? Oh, it makes dying a lot more interesting, don't it?
Preacher's eyelids flickered open.
Why don't you go?
Somebody's coming, Garrity!
Well, now who the hell's that?
Don't reckon we have to worry about him. Looks like it's only one man.
Yeah, but he looks familiar. I think it's one of those fellas we took these wagons away from.
Preacher could not figure out for the life of him why one man would be approaching the outlaw camp. Maybe one of the bullwhackers who were with Roland had slipped away from the others and planned on trying to join up with Garrity's bunch. Garrity strode past Preacher. The shadow he cast was a blessed relief from the searing sun, but it lasted only a heartbeat, and then it was gone.
He's stopping whoever he is.
What do you want, mister?
I want to make a trade.
Roland.
Oh, my God. He's going to get himself killed.
What sort of trade?
I want Preacher and the girl.
What in the hell makes you think you can have them?
Like I said, I'll trade.
You got nothing left to trade. We already took all your wagons and freight.
But you don't have this money belt. $2,000, Garrity. It's yours if you send Casey and Preacher out to me. It's the last of my father's savings, but I don't care.
Preacher wondered if Roland was telling the truth. He hadn't heard anything about a money belt with $2,000 in it. But on the other hand, neither Roland nor Lehman Bartlett had had any reason to tell him about it. Roland's offer to buy his and Casey's freedom might just be genuine. On the other hand, Roland could be running a bluff and trying to pull a trick of some kind. It probably didn't matter much either way, Preacher figured. Garrity wasn't going to turn him loose. He was having too much fun tormenting Preacher, and he had plans for Casey, too. But he might pretend to agree in hopes of luring Roland closer just in case the young man really did have the money.
Huh. Well, bring that belt on over here. I gotta see the money before I can make a deal.
No! Send Preacher and Casey to me. Don't come after them. I'll leave the money where you can find it.
You damn fool! You expect me to trust you? You're one man, and you're on foot! You ain't got a chance! Boys, go get him and bring him to me! And we'll get the horses and run him down. Oh, but don't kill him.
Casey rose to her feet.
Roland, get out of here! Go!
Too late, girlie! He ain't getting away.
Run, Roland, run!
Shut up and sit back down.
Half a dozen men on horseback pounded past the spot where Preacher was staked out. He wished to hell he could see what was going on. He tried to lift his head, but he was too weak.
Casey, what's happening?
Roland's trying to run away. He's not gonna make it.
Whoa! What the hell?
What is it?
It's the bullwhackers from the wagon. They're attacking Garrity and his men.
Preacher realized then Roland had distracted Garrity and his men and caused Garrity to split his forces. Garrity looked out at the men chasing Roland.
Come back! God damn it! It's a trap!
He started to run past Preacher. Then he stopped abruptly and pulled a pistol from his belt. He pointed it at the mountain man's head. Still on her knees, Casey twisted and threw herself at Garrity's legs. The unexpected impact jostled him just enough that when the pistol in his hand exploded, the ball slammed into the ground beside Preacher's ear, throwing dirt into his face instead of splattering his brains across the sand. Casey dropped her shoulder and lunged at Garrity's knees. He dropped the pistol as he went down.
You bitch!
Every instinct in Preacher shouted for him to get in the middle of the fight, but sturdy rawhide thongs bound him to the stakes driven into the ground. He couldn't move, no matter how hard he strained against them. Garrity heaved up onto his knees. He threw himself on Casey and groped at her neck, obviously intending to strangle the life out of her. Preacher saw Garrity's fingers locking around Casey's throat, and he knew she only had seconds to live. Every bit of resolve, every ounce of strength that Preacher could possibly summon up, he channeled into his left leg. The life he had lived had hardened Preacher's body, but more important than that, it had given him an iron will. And he used that iron will now as he heaved against the stake holding his leg. And it moved. only slightly at first. The preacher felt it shift. He heaved again, and this time the stake pulled free. The preacher forced his muscles to work as he drew up his leg, and then he lashed out with it, slamming a kick with his bare foot into the middle of Garrity's back. He broke his chokehold on Casey's throat and knocked him forward over. Casey had the presence of mind to snatch the pistol Garrity had dropped on the ground. It was empty, but she grabbed the barrel with both hands and swung the pistol like a club, slamming it into the side of Garrity's head above the ear. Garrity collapsed half on top of her. Casey struggled out from under Garrity. She looked like she wanted to keep hitting him with the pistol until his head was smashed into bits, but she dropped the gun and grabbed his knife from its sheath. She swung around and started sawing at Preacher's bonds. His hands came free, then his other leg. His hands were numb from being tied so tightly. He flexed his fingers as Casey helped him sit up.
We've got to get out of here. Can you stand up?
Preacher could see the gun battle continuing around the wagons. With Casey's help, he struggled to get to his feet, but his legs wouldn't support him.
Shit! Lead me, girl! Get out of here!
No one's getting left behind!
Roland!
The young man ran up to him and took hold of Preacher's other arm.
I got it. Casey, are you all right?
I'm fine, but how did you?
The men Garrity sent after me turned back to the wagons when the shooting started.
Let's get Preacher out of here.
Look out! Garrity!
Concentrating on helping Preacher, they didn't see Garrity as he got to his feet, but the mountain man had. Roland let go of Preacher's arm, reaching for the pistol behind his belt as he turned toward Garrity. In Garrity's hand was a flintlock Derringer he had taken from inside his buckskins. He thrust it out in front of him toward Roland. Roland staggered and fell. Casey let go of Preacher and launched herself at Garrity again. He met her with a vicious backhand across her face that sent her spinning off her feet. Preacher fought to stay upright. He was weak and he didn't have a weapon, but he would fight Garrity with his bare hands if that was all he could do. He would fight to the last breath, and it looked like it just might come to that. The shooting around the wagons was beginning to die down. Preacher knew from the grin that stretched across Garrity's face that the bullwhackers had not won.
You have caused me a hell of a lot of trouble, Preacher. But you'll pay for it. Damned if you won't.
Preacher took an unsteady step toward the man and clenched his fists.
Go ahead, you son of a bitch.
Not yet.
Garrity looked past Preacher and nodded. It was an old trick, but it wasn't always a trick. Preacher heard the heavy step behind him and tried to turn, but before he could move, something crashed into the back of his head. For the second time in less than 12 hours, Preacher was sent plunging into a black oblivion.
Good thing I got a thick skull.
Preacher saw light and felt heat, but it wasn't the same as before. The glow that penetrated his closed eyelids danced and flickered, and the heat wasn't steady. He was close to a fire, and he was bound again. But he was not staked out on the ground this time. He was upright. When he shifted as much as the ropes around his arms would allow, he felt a rough surface scrape his back. After a moment, he figured out that his wrists were tied together behind his back, and another rope wound around his torso, binding him to what felt like a wagon wheel. He forced his eyes open. It was a wagon wheel. He was tied to the front wheel, Casey was bound similarly to the rear wheel on the same side of the vehicle. Preacher looked past her and saw Roland Bartlett tied to another wagon. The left shoulder of his shirt was stained with blood where Garrity had shot him with the Derringer, and his head sagged forward. He was unconscious, but his chest still rose and fell, so he was still alive. They were on the inside of the circle. Preacher could see several other men were tied to the wagon wheels, too. He recognized them as some of the bullwhackers he had left with Roland. They were the survivors from the bunch that had launched the attack on the outlaw camp while Roland provided a distraction. Preacher wondered where Dog and Horse were. Probably within earshot, knowing his old friends. He figured they would come if he whistled to summon them, but that would expose them to danger at the hands of the outlaws. Night had fallen. Preacher realized he had lost most of an entire day. The oxen were crowded over to one side of the area inside the circle of wagons, and a big fire had been built on the other side closest to the wagons where the prisoners were bound. The outlaws were gathered around it now. One of the men had noticed Preacher lift his head. He nudged Garrity and jerked his chin toward the wagons. Garrity looked around and saw the Preacher was awake. He grinned. He ambled on over, carrying a jug. Preacher could smell the rot-gut whiskey on Garrity's breath even from several feet away.
Damn, you've got a hard head! I thought sure you were dead this time.
Not even close.
That was sort of a lie. Preacher felt at least half dead. But that meant he still felt half alive, too. And that half was a hell of a lot stubborner than the dead one.
Now, I bet you're wondering why I didn't just go ahead and kill you.
You know, I don't waste my time wondering about what loco snakes like you do or don't do.
Oh, I'm tired of having to worry about you people popping up to cause trouble for me. Now that I got you all here, I'm gonna finish you off once and for all.
Garrity waved his hand.
We got you all lined up here like targets. So that's what we're gonna do. We're gonna have some target practice.
Garrity stepped closer and poked a hard, bony finger against Preacher's bare chest.
Starting with you. You son of a bitch. We're gonna shoot away little pieces of you and see how long we can keep you alive.
What about the girl?
You might as well go ahead and kill me, too. I won't cooperate with you.
Well, you go ahead and fight all you want to, darling. It just makes it that much sweeter for me. And I bet most of the boys here feel the same way. The ones in Santa Fe will, too.
I'll kill you! You'll never be able to turn your back on me, Garrity. You'll never be able to close your eyes. Because I will find a way to kill you.
Oh, well, I would like to see you try, honey.
I'll make a deal with you.
You got nothing to bargain with.
You don't think so? Leave Preacher, Roland, and the other men alive. Tomorrow morning you can leave them tied up, so it'll take them all day to get loose. By then you'll be far enough down the trail that they'll never catch up to you. If you do that, I'll make it worth your while. I give you my word on that.
Oh. Well, what can you do that'd make it worth my while?
I worked in a whorehouse from the time I was 16. I promise you, Garrity, I know some tricks that'll surprise even a man like you.
Huh. Whoa, you think so, huh? Well, you make it mighty tempting.
Roland's head had started to lift during the last exchange. He had heard enough of it, and he understood enough.
No, Casey! Don't! Shut up,
mister! This is between me and this little trollop.
Garrity looked at Casey again.
Now, I admit, you got me curious, but it ain't enough. I don't want no more trouble, so we're just gonna go ahead and shoot these other fellas. If I have to knock you out to get what I want from you, that's all right. No skin off my back.
Garrity lifted the jug.
You want a drink, Preacher? One last drink before we start shooting you to pieces?
I wouldn't drink after you if that was the last jug of corn squeezings on Earth.
Well, I got news for you. As far as you're concerned, this is the last jug of corn squeezing on Earth.
Then, Preacher had an idea. Even though the possibility that it occurred to him was so far-fetched it was hard to believe, he took the chance anyway. What the hell did he have to lose?
You better not shoot me. You're gonna be mighty sorry if you do.
No, I don't think so. Why in the hell would you say that?
Because If you kill me, the spirit of my brother, the bear, is gonna come after you and tear you apart.
What? Your brother, the bear? What the hell are you talking about?
It's true. Me and the grizzly bear are brothers. He's my totem animal, as the Injuns would say. He follows me around, and he protects me.
That is the craziest shit I ever heard.
Yeah, you don't believe me? You go ahead and shoot me. That spirit bear won't get just you, though.
Preacher looked around at the other outlaws.
That's right. You'll come in here and kill all the rest of your men, too. Rip them into little pieces. That's what he's gonna do. And if you don't believe me, you ask them.
Preacher jerked his head toward Casey and Roland and the other prisoners.
They all seen it with their own eyes.
Oh, it's true. The biggest bear I ever seen in my life. It's terribly ferocious and it follows Preacher around.
Casey wasn't stretching the truth by much, Preacher figured. That bear had followed him for hundreds of miles.
I saw it. That thing is a monster and you can't kill it. Before we knew about its connection to Preacher, we shot it again and again and it just kept coming. It killed my father.
Roland's voice left no doubt to his sincerity. He and Casey had caught on quickly to what Preacher was doing.
I seen it sure as hell. Left men dead in his path. And his path always followed Preacher.
That was one of the bullwhackers chiming in. They probably thought Preacher was stalling for time, clinging to life any way he could for as long as he could, just as he had done all those years back when the Blackfoot took him prisoner and planned to burn him at the stake. But there was a big difference. Preacher was stalling, sure, but he was also waiting. Garrity's men were starting to get nervous. He saw the furtive, worried looks they exchanged with each other.
There's only one way you can kill me and keep that spirit bear from seeking revenge.
Yeah, well, how's that?
In a fair fight. Turn me loose. Garrity and me can settle this man to man. If I die fighting, it'll be an honorable death, and the ghost bear won't have to avenge me.
No, that ain't gonna happen.
Why not, Garrity? You said yourself the preacher's half dead. Hell, you can finish him off easy.
Have you forgot who's giving the orders around here?
Their lives are riding on it too, Garrity. The ghost bear will kill them all.
You shut the hell up about some goddamn ghost bear. There ain't no such thing.
Then go ahead and shoot me. See what happens.
Garrity glowered at Preacher for a long moment. Then he looked from face to face of his men.
Son of a bitch!
He drew the knife at his belt, and he used it to point at two of his men.
Dumars! You and Bottom, point your rifles at him while I'm cutting him loose. If he tries anything funny, kill him.
You're gonna fight him, Garrity?
No. I'm gonna cut him loose and then kill him. Because it ain't gonna last long enough to be called a real fight.
Garrity moved closer to Preacher and started sawing on the ropes that held him to the wagon wheel. After a moment, the ropes parted. Without them to hold him up, Preacher's strength deserted him momentarily. He fell to his knees.
You see what I mean? What's about to happen ain't a real fight at all. It's gonna be a pure slaughter.
With his hands tied behind his back, Preacher struggled to his feet. He turned sideways and held his bound hands away from him.
Finish it, Garrity.
Oh, I'll finish it, all right.
Garrity moved behind Preacher and roughly sliced the bonds around the mountain man's wrists, leaving a sting cut on Preacher's arm in the process. Preacher pulled his hands in front of him. They were like chunks of dead meat. He shook them and flexed them. A million tiny knives pricked at him as the blood began to flow again. But it was welcome torture. It meant that he would be able to use his hands.
All right.
Garrity held out a hand to one of his men.
Give me your knife.
The man did so, and Garrity plunged the knife into the ground at Preacher's feet.
Whenever you're ready, Preacher. Just, don't take all night about it. I'm getting a mite anxious to carve you into little pieces.
Preacher looked down at the knife, then up at Garrity, then past Garrity. An odd expression came over Preacher's face, a haunting look of resignation, a look that said, there are some things you just can't beat.
I don't think I can do it. I'm too beat up. I can't take you on.
I knew it! You damn coward.
But I got a substitute. Somebody you can fight instead of me.
Oh? Who's that, huh? The whore? Or the boy?
Nope. Him.
Preacher nodded toward the far side of the circle, where the grizzly that had just climbed over a wagon tongue reared up to its full height.